the initial introduction was about. It was actually a depiction from the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ when his son Ibrahim died. And he had said, "Verily, the heart is agonized and sad, and the eyes shed tears, and we are over your departure, O Ibrahim, sad." And the same expression was used to speak about the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan, which just started and is about to finish. You could almost swear that it just started 2 days ago. Maximum 1 week. But we are on the night of the 23rd. We're approaching the night of the 23rd, the 22nd of Ramadan. And the next few days will be just as fast. Just in case you thought they're going to suddenly take long, they're not going to take long. They're going to be fast as well. And the sad, bitter reality of the Muslims today is that they have become divorced from Islam. From the true Islam. There's still some elements of Islam present in our lives. But not the Islam which was practiced at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Of course we can never be as good as they were. But we can try. And we can come close. In the first few nights, mashallah, the masajid, full. Full. You can even come 20 minutes before the adhan. No place in the first row. Then a few days go by. Then we're back. We're back to before Ramadan. Last night, we prayed, I don't even know the area. We were invited for iftar somewhere in the outskirts of Jeddah. A huge masjid. I was nagging the brothers, let's go early. You know, people eating, taking their time. Say, relax, man, just relax. We have plenty of time. There's no one in the masjid. I said, what do you mean there's no one in the masjid? I thought he was just telling me this to calm me down. Eventually, I ruined their iftar and ruined the meal. I said, you know, I don't have a car and we have to go to the masjid now. So they said, this guy is going to ruin our night, yalla. And I walked into a masjid which had only two people. This was 5 minutes before Adhan al-Isha. 5 minutes. Or maybe 10. The Muaddin sitting on a chair over there. And the Imam sitting here revising what he will lead us in Salah. That's it. I said to the brother sitting, I said, where is Muaddin? Where is everybody? So they will come inshallah after Adhan. In outside Ramadan, it's better. On regular nights, there are more people in the masjid around Adhan time. Where's everybody? Shopping. إِلَّا مَا رَحِمَ اللَّهِ. So we have become so strange, so detached from the spirituality which we're supposed to attain in this month of Ramadan. It's not normal, it's abnormal. And the nights are wasted. So while some people do i'tikaf in the masjid and qiyam in the masjid, there are people doing i'tikaf in the mall and qiyam in the mall. Yeah, he's standing before the cashier for his turn to come. And he's doing i'tikaf in a sense, iltizam al-masjid, to seclude yourself from the people in one place. He's secluding himself from the people in the market. So you try to go to this haram on tahliya, forget it. You can't even cross the road. People park, double park, triple park, on the sidewalk, on the freeway, in the middle of the path. He doesn't care. He just puts his car and turns it off and locks it, go to the shop, Allah, with his family shopping. The people can go to hell. Who cares, Jenny, if they make it or they don't make it? I don't care. As long as I get my shopping. Ludicrous. It has become normal. This is besides the soap opera, the special television programs dedicated for the month of Ramadan, specifically made to mislead you. You know, in the business world, you have a countermeasure plan, and when you see this competition, you know, this other business about to rise, you devise a plan in order to counter their movement, and so you can remain in the market and all this kind of stuff. The shayateen work in the same fashion. He knows that in the month of Ramadan there's going to be some restrictions. You know, the big leaders will be tight and chained. So he starts working for his plan before Ramadan, so that other people will execute it in the month of Ramadan. He doesn't have to be present, which is us, human beings. So you find all these this wild TV shows full of naked women and music and I don't know what it is, and this is Ramadan special. And many people spend their time watching this stuff. After they break their fast, you know, it's time now to enjoy oneself. Others, wal'iyadu billah, sleeping. Sleeping all day. The hours that the person actually fasts is like 2 to 3 hours. Of course, on a working day, it's going to be more than that. Because his mudir is going to break his neck. He may squeeze a half an hour on the desk when no one sees him. Or he may say, I need to go to the bathroom, and he will go upstairs to the musalla and sleep on the floor, hoping no one will catch him. You may pull a stunt here and there. Because the mudir, salary, fulus. But when there's no work, Thursday, Friday, don't ask. Don't ask. Sleeping the whole day. If he gets up for salah. If. To continue sleeping afterwards. Where's the taqwa that we were supposed to attain in the siyam? Didn't get it. And that's why, as soon as the maghrib comes in, he goes back to everything which he had left alone during the day. He wasn't smoking in the day, now he's smoking again. He wasn't watching this, now he's watching it. He wasn't listening, everything is back to normal. Because in the day he didn't get anything. He gained nothing. So people sleep throughout the day. So we find that these blessed times, which include Laylatul Qadr, the night of decree, if you want to call it that, or the night of power, whatever, is equal to 1,000 months. And we mention on the minbar, we hear this all the time. Every Ramadan, someone who gives a talk, he's going to tell you, you know, Laylatul Qadr khayrun min alf shahr. We all know it, but we have to for once pause. Just pause, take it easy, and if you're a mathematician or you're a businessman, calculate. The number of years, over 80 years. What is it, 83 and 4 months, or 82 and 4 months, whatever. In one night. That's the biggest promotion you will ever get in your life. There isn't anything better. So to lose this offer is unacceptable. And believe it or not, many people are trapped by the shaitan on that blessed night. So my advice to myself and you, on the odd nights of the 10 nights, which is tonight and the 25th and the 27th and the 29th, simply excuse yourself from all kinds of socializing. Even if someone invites you to iftar. If you know him enough to apologize, apologize. Because these gatherings are nothing but girgir. Talk, 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 backbiting, gossiping, everything. Eating, eat, eat, eat. Talk, talk, talk. Eat. By the time you finish eating and talking, your heart is dead and your stomach is full. And you just need a bed now. You need a bed to get the rest which you've been looking for. What tarawih are you going to come and pray? And if you come for tarawih from them before the imam begins, you're yawning the whole time. Yeah, shaykh, this imam, what is this imam, man? You need to get another imam. He takes 40 minutes for tarawih. Allah, we have things to do and we have family waiting at home and shit. What 40 minutes? 1 hour. Wallah, if we prayed from Isha till Fajr, wallah, that's nothing. What do you think they called it tarawih at the time of the Sahaba? They would have a stick, a cane. He would have to lean on the cane because of the length of the qiyam. It was called tarawih because they actually had to have a raha. They had to have a small rest after each 4 rak'at, because of how long they stood. Now, you know, our raha is we drink water. You know, he gives you 15 seconds to take a sip of water, and this is the raha we have. Because we didn't do anything in the 4 rak'at which came before. So you come to the salah lazy. You don't want to stay. You just want him to finish already to go home. This is ridiculous. Can you imagine? You Allah invited you. You know, from amongst all these human beings, he invited you to come to the masjid and you don't like it? You know how strange this is? We're not happy. But if we were told, look, there's this new park for children, huh? Funland. And you have to stand in line for 1 hour to buy a ticket or to play, no problem. You'll be standing there, mashallah, mumtaz. But standing in salah, wallahi ya shaykh, is too much. It's taken too much, too difficult. No. This is misunderstanding. This is misunderstanding of Islam from us Muslims. This is why it is important to learn Arabic. Why? Two things. To know what is happening in the salah. When the imam is reciting these beautiful ayat of Allah, the ayat which if they were to be sent down on the mountain, it will crush. You will be able to understand and react. If you don't understand, it's difficult because you don't know what's going on. You're just standing there and you don't know what's going on. It's critical to know what he's saying, because what he's saying is the kalamullah, which is mind-blowing. Number two reason, so when you say ameen in the dua, it could be a valid ameen. Because sometimes these imams, may Allah guide us and guide them, they're pulling some really nasty stunts. Right here, not in this masjid, I mean, where I'm standing. Do not think that every imam, because he's an imam, he knows what he's saying. Sometimes the imam, jazallah khair, from excitement, he commits shirk in the salah. I prayed behind one who said to Allah in the salah, "Oh Allah, we knocked all the doors. They all closed. The only door that's left is yours." MashaAllah. After he tried everybody and everyone failed, oh, okay, now we have Allah at the end, so let's go give that a shot. This is aib. You speak it to Allah. We tried everybody, people ta'ban. Oh, now we still have an opportunity here with you. Or some who may remind Allah of their favors on Allah. Other imams say, "Oh Allah, we left our children, we left our wives, we left our family, we came here to you. Sheikh, you didn't do anything, Allah brought you here. And if he wanted, he would have left you at home. You didn't do anything. You don't go tell Allah what you have done for him. Allah is the one who tells you what he has done for you. You remember, you praise Allah for the blessing of allowing you to come to the masjid. And sadly, with words like that being uttered, people are screaming, "Ameen, Ameen," thinking that they're getting something. But it's not the case. So this misconception that the more you cry, we're not blaming crying, cry, but that the more you cry and the louder you scream, "Ameen," and the more you shake your hands, the more forgiveness you will get, is not from Islam. Okay, this is the bitter fact. This is what it is for some people. In fact, you see them. He's standing outside. Doesn't pray. When the imam begins the dua, he comes into the masjid. He doesn't even join salah. I've seen these people. He stands in the very back. He's standing there just making dua with the imam. He's not even praying with the imam. And you do, then he cries a little bit. He goes out from the masjid. Alhamdulillah, tonight was the night. I was forgiven. Khalas, tomorrow. Ya Sheikh. What do you think this is? Is this how the Prophet made dua, alayhi salatu wasalam? Did you not notice that when I started making dua, my voice went down? Ud'u rabbakum tadarru'an wa khufya, innahu la yuhibbul mu'tadeen. Call unto your Lord with humbleness and in a low voice. He does not love the transgressors. Versus screaming on Allah, screaming. Not the imam, not the ma'mumin. We don't scream. We don't scream. Allah doesn't need us to scream. He doesn't need us to put on a show. This is not a show. Not for the imam, not for the ma'mum. The sunnah is you stand there like a slave, like a beggar. Like this. Ameen. From a heart. From a sincere heart. Ameen. That's all you need. That's all you need. All this show and acting and crying and over-exaggerating. And someone, you think it's a funeral. It's not. If you shed tears, jazakallah khair. If your body moves because you're crying, jazakallah khair. But this, you know, this loud screaming and loud crying is not from the way of the Prophet alayhi salam, nor the Sahaba. They were much different than we are today. But we have to follow their way, because this is the way which Allah is pleased with. It's about them whom Allah said, radiallahu anhum wa radu anhum. Not us. Unless we do what they were doing, in which case we are qualified for the rida of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So these nights are being wasted in shopping and wasting the time. The advice is, avoid all of this socializing and this nonsense. If you don't have work, why not? Why not? Come to the masjid from Isha and stay until the end of Qiyam. This is if you want to pray more than 11. We're not going to go to the 11 and 20 fitna. Okay, and don't ask me about it afterwards. 20 rak'at, 11 rak'at, this khali, this is an issue of difference, leave it on the side. Let's say you're praying both, Taraweeh and Qiyam. What's wrong with coming for this one and staying until the other one? Nothing's wrong. Bring a little bag of snacks, some cookies and some ma'mool and some whatever things that you eat, and your coffee if you drink coffee, shai, whatever. Sit in the masjid. Alhamdulillah, air conditioned, everything is nice. While the people are fighting outside in the car and honking the horn and cursing each other and getting in accidents, you're sitting in the house of Allah. And the malaika are making dua for you. Allahumma khfir lahu, Allahumma arhamhu, Allah show forgiveness, oh Allah mercy on him. وَأَنْتَ فِي صَلَاتِ مَا دُمْتَ تَنْتَظِرْ صَلَاةِ. And the salah is being written for you as long as you're waiting for the salah. This is a big investment with Allah. Very easy. You have nothing else to do. It's easy, wallah, it's easy. But you know, the shaitan doesn't want it to be easy. So it will give you all kinds of excuses. Now I know some people cannot do it. They have work, they have obligations, ma fi mushkila. I'm saying for the one who has the ability, this kind of sacrifice is expected from a Muslim. It is expected from a Muslim. For the one who truly wants to get Laylatul Qadr, who truly wants to be forgiven from the hell, and protected from the hellfire. Because protection from the hellfire requires a lot of dedication, a lot of striving, which the Sahaba understood. This is why even though the Prophet ﷺ gave him glad tidings of Jannah, he gave him glad tidings. He told him, Uthman, you're in Jannah. Umar, you're in Jannah. Abu Bakr, you're in Jannah. That did not make him relax. It did not make him make any less effort. They made even more effort. We don't have any glad tidings of Jannah. None of us here received any bishara from the Prophet ﷺ. So what are we depending on? The lousy ibadat that we're doing? Now we have to do a lot more to earn a lot more. So the conclusion for that aspect of the khutbah is, please, don't let this Ramadan go by without you having attained Allah's forgiveness, because it could be the last. And this is the part which we don't like to really deal with. We know, yeah, I know this could be the last. No, no, no. This could be the last. You already know people that just died just before Ramadan. They did not think last year that they would not make it to this one. And next year it could be me or you. This is something we have to really believe so we can act. Because as long as we know there's another chance, we will relax again. If this one doesn't work, inshallah, next year, if that one doesn't work, then the one after, and we will continue to do this. Unless we know there's urgency. There's urgency, then we say, okay, no, I have to take care of it. No, let's feel it right now. Let's take care of it this time before it's too late. This is in regards to the Qiyam and the Siyam. Then in the second part of the khutbah, we dealt with Zakatul Fitr. Okay? The first thing we need to do is make some corrections. It is not called fitrah. Not called fitrah. Fitrah is the natural disposition. The way Allah created us. The fitrah of tawheed. That one is called zakatul fitr and not fitrah. So number one, you know, linguistic correction, because it is prevalent among the brothers to say fitrah, not fitrah. Fitr. Zakatul fitr or sadaqatul fitr. Both names are acceptable. Number two, it's an obligation on every Muslim, male or female, old and young, free or a slave. We only have free people now. And this Zakatul Fitr has to be paid in fulus or food? Food. Only. I know there's a difference of opinion, relax. I know somebody who follows some madhab is going to come and say, oh, you know, Wahhabi. This for Mawlana or Imam, you know, such and such said, you can pay money. So what are you doing to the people? Say, no, take it easy. If you follow that opinion, Jazakallah khair. No problem. You are entitled, if you don't have any ilm, you are totally a layman. Zero. Zero. You cannot analyze anything. You are entitled to blindly follow one imam, and he is your hujjah before Allah because you're totally unqualified. 0%. In which case, you're free to do what you want. The second position is that you have some knowledge, some intellect, so that you can analyze the textual evidence. In which case, you're no longer allowed to follow any one person blindly. You have to follow what you know is according to the sunnah. Even if you wind up going against Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman and Ali together. If therefore we're on one side and the Prophet ﷺ was on one side, you have to follow the Prophet ﷺ with all due respect to these four Khulafa al-Rashideen, let alone the four Imams of the Madahib. So we know at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they had money, they had currency. Yet he commanded that it is paid in sa', which is a measurement, a type of measurement for food equals to 3 liters. It's the equivalent or 4 of these. Now my hands are small. Average size man, if you put your hands in rice 4 times, this is called mud or med. 1, 2, 3, 4. Now if you put dates, it will weigh different than barley, it will weigh different than rice. That's why it's better to go with liters. Liters. So you can go to the, you know, Bagala or the 2 rial store and buy a 1 rial or a 1 liter pitcher, and you put 1 liter, 2 liters, 3 liters of food. This is the closest to the sunnah. If you don't have time and it's too complicated for you, you want to go by the fatwa of the 2.5 kilos or something, mafi mushkila, go get the kilos and get it over with. I'm telling you what is the closest to the sunnah. The closest to the sunnah is volume, not weight. 1 sa' for each person of food, because this is what the Prophet ﷺ commanded. You say, but poor people today don't need food. Say, then they are not poor. Once you say this person doesn't need food, he needs money, then he's not poor anymore. Because a faqir or a miskin is someone who, if you give him anything, he will use it. Anything. You give him a cloth, he will use it to clean something, he will use it for some to sew or patch one of his thobes. Anything, he's a faqir. Now if you find a rich person who claims to be a faqir, and you give him some food, he says, come on man, what is this? Give me some money. He's not a faqir. So the problem is, we don't really look for the fuqara. We just give money to one person in the masjid or to one jam'iyya khayriya, and they will do the job on our behalf. Well, that's lazy. That's a solution for the lazy people. For those who want to get involved with the act of worship, they have another approach. No, you go by yourself to the marketplace, and you go measure your food by yourself, and you go look for the fuqara, and you go give it to them. This is for the one who wants the maximum ajr associated with zakatul fitr. The sunnah is to pay it on your way to Salatul Eid, after Fajr, before Eid. If it's difficult for you to manage it in this time, you can do it from the night before, from the night of Eid. Or up to 2 days before Eid, as Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned, that they used to pay it up to 2 days before Eid. Before that it's unacceptable, after that it's unacceptable. You give it to this faqir, miskin, whatever it is, food. If you find that he needs a thawb, or he needs money, give him sadaqah. You can give him zakatul mal. If you have any money that has reached nisab, give him zakatul mal. You can give him sadaqah for his clothes and whatever. But for zakatul fitr, food only. A man can pay on behalf of his household for his wife and children, or each one of them may pay on his or her own. There's flexibility. But you don't have to do twice. No, some people think that the husband has to pay on the family, then each one of the family members on their behalf. No, it's once is enough. Either the man says, it's on me, I'll take care of the whole household, or everyone takes care of it on their own. Both are accepted, as long as it is paid. So this is some of the rulings pertaining to zakatul fitr. Of course, Ibn Abbas was asked about the hikmah, the wisdom behind it. He said, "Tuhratun min al-laghwi wal-rafath." It is means of purification from the idle behavior and the things which were blameworthy in Ramadan. So if we had some problems, which we did, in our fasting and qiyam, inshallah, zakatul fitr will expiate. It will purify these mistakes which we have done, which we need. We need that. And alhamdulillah, it's very much affordable. Yeah, and it's a few riyals and you're done. The job is done. It's mercy from Allah that it's not something that is beyond our ability. So, but let us try to stick to the sunnah in regards to how to execute it. Preferably pay it locally. Locally, for the local people. And the people back home, pay for themselves. So if you have your families back in India or Pakistan or whatever, and you send them the money, then they will get the food and they will pay the poor people over there. And you do it for yourself here. Some of the ulama allow that is done in different places. ما في مشكلة. There's flexibility. I'm giving you the best option. The best option locally. Because the hadith of Mu'adh, the Prophet ﷺ said to him, خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً, take from their wealth sadaqa, it will be returned to their fuqara. Take from the people of Yemen money and give it to their poor. So they understood the ulama that take it from them, give it to their poor people, not the people in Mecca, or not the people in Medina, meaning that the zakah or things of the sort have to be paid for the locality, the people in that locality. This is how the scholars understood this principle. But again, there's flexibility. ما في مشكلة. If you want to take it elsewhere, that's fine. But the best thing is to do it locally. So basically, in summary, brothers in Islam, you know, the nights are and the days are going by very fast. So let us be a little intelligent and wise and slow down. Just think about it. What is the plan? What plan do I have to truly, truly take advantage and utilize what is left of Ramadan, which is not much. But let us ensure that we don't fall under those whom the Prophet ﷺ said Ameen to when Jibreel made dua that Allah Azza wa Jal will disgrace them for not having been forgiven in Ramadan. You don't want the month to leave with you not having your sins forgiven. It's a calamity. And for the sins to be forgiven, things have to be done. It's not wishes. We all wish. But there's more than amani. There's amal, which we have to get involved in. So I ask Allah Azza wa Jal to enable us to act upon the reminder, to be among those who follow the best of that which He revealed, and to make us among those who strictly follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakum Allahu khairan wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Muhammad, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.